If you look at those verses, to me, that's confessing nothing but good things over your life. It goes, a sun and shield forever are you, O Lord Most High. You shower us with blessings, so good will you, no good will you deny. It's God's way of, you know, you're confessing God's promise over your life. When you're singing that, you're confessing that over your life, his promises. Then it goes on, it says, the saints your grace receiving from strength to strength shall go, and from their life shall rivers of blessings overflow. So when we sing these hymns, really absorb the words, because that's what you're doing. You're confessing this over your life, over the body of Christ. Now we're going to go ahead and do our Sunday humor. And since it's June, it's what? The month of weddings, right? So this one's kind of about weddings in a way. It says, as a new bride, Aunt Edna moved into a small home on her husband's ranch near Snowflake. She put a shoebox on a shelf in her closet and asked her husband never to touch it. So for 50 years, Uncle Jack left the box alone until Aunt Edna was old and was dying. And one day he was putting their affairs in order, and he found that box again up in the closet and thought, this might hold something pretty important, so I better look inside this box. So he opens the box, and he finds two doilies, and $82,500 in cash. He took the box to her, and he asked her about the contents of the box. Aunt Edna said, my mother gave me that box the day we got married. She told me to make a doily to help ease my frustrations when I get mad at you. Now, mind you, there was only two doilies in the box, okay? So now Uncle Jack's head got real big here now all of a sudden, and he's thinking, he was very touched. After 50 years, there were only two doilies that she made because she was frustrated with her husband. Uncle Jack said, that's pretty awesome, only two doilies, but where did this $82,500 come from? So he asked Edna. And Edna replied, oh, well, that's the money I made from selling all the doilies. I plan on using that for a wedding coming up. There's a moral behind that story. So, Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this message. You've laid this on my heart 2 to 4 weeks ago. And so, Father, I feel that today is the day that you want me to share this message. And again, this particular message is more a teaching, and I'm going to be asking you questions. There's no right or wrong answers. If you want to give me feedback, I would love that. We'll get to that in a minute. But out of Mark chapter 12, one day a man asked Jesus, which of all the commandments was the most important? And Jesus answered him and said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So God didn't put us on this planet, on this earth, to check off our to-do list while we're here. He has a plan and he has a purpose. God wants us first, though, to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And you're thinking, well, you know, none of us are perfect at that, and we all know that. But how do we do that? How do we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, first off, when we love God with all our heart, that's usually somebody who's a talker. They have a gift to talk. God's given them the gift to talk, to get it up and be a good communicator. Communicating the gospel, communicating the gospel, the good news. But then also loving God with our soul, in a lot of respects, especially in Psalms, when it talks about our soul, it's talking about our feelings, our emotions, okay? So when we love the Lord with all of our soul, we want to love the Lord with all the compassion that God puts in us to love others. And there's such a broad variance between compassion, not only just for your family, but for the unlovable, you know, or the loved or the unlovable. But then it goes on, it says, love God with all your mind. Now that's someone who's a thinker, okay? Someone who is considerate of other people's, they think about other people's problems and situations, or they think about different circumstances or situations in someone's life. Okay, so let's say with all your strength, what would that be? Well, that happens to be someone who is a doer. They're a doer of the word, okay? So if I were to say, in other words, I love God with all my talk, with all my feelings, with all my thinking, and with all my actions. That's a big plate. Full, isn't it? So, but with that, we know that the world needs what? It needs communication, it needs compassion, it needs consideration, it needs contribution. And we, the followers of Christ, we can do these things. We can't do all of them. We're not good at, you know, all of these, 100% of the time. But as a body of Christ, you know, you might be the little toe, and this person might be the thumb. But when we put the body of Christ together, we make one whole body of Christ, and that we can accomplish great things. We can't, you know, where two or more are gathered together and agree, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. Where one sends 1,000 to flight, two sends 10,000 angels to flight. So when we come together as a unity, in unity and one accord, we're going to accomplish greater things for God in a community. For example, Samaritan's Purse. That is a ministry of Billy Graham's. Now Franklin Graham runs that. And, you know, at first it was Billy Graham just going, what, 50 years ago? Maybe even 60 years ago, you know, evangelizing. And look what his ministry has done over the years. It's grown and expanded. And, I mean, there was points where when he would minister, he had to rent a baseball field, you know, a major baseball field to because there were so many people that wanted to hear him preach and to minister. So, but because of that, he was able to branch out in other things and you know, reach out into different parts of the world and feed, you know, different tribes and, you know, missions. And, you know, there were so many things that his ministry was able to start doing. So, but I'm getting a little off track here because God has shaped all of us. We're either, you know, to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, or with all our strength. But believe it or not, we all have these traits. We all have these traits to be a thinker, to be a feeler, to be a doer, to, you know, we all have these gifts to some degree. But guess what? We lean towards one of those. Why? Maybe we feel more comfortable with it. Here's a good example of one that would be more comfortable. Marlene, thank you again, by the way, for the beautiful music this morning. But she is talented in music. She feels comfortable there. That's what her ministry is. That's what she does. And we all have a spot in ministry, and we all know. Here's another good example. When we did Bob's lunch here, the ladies just plowed right in here, and they put it together, and before you knew it, we had a luncheon, and, you know, the ladies joined together, and they all helped, you know, stepped in when they could and helped out as much as they could. It's just part of, hey, I feel comfortable doing that. I can do that. And then there's going to be times God's going to ask us to get out of our comfort zone, and he's going to ask us to do something that's not exactly something that we feel comfortable with. But, again, we do lean towards one of those four that I'm talking about this morning. So those who are communicators, which are those that are love the Lord with their heart, those are communicators. Those who love God with all their heart. Heart people are talkers. Blech. Heart people love to tell stories, converse with others. They lead discussions, and they verbalize. And the great thing about communicators is, you know, like, I get frustrated with some people because they sometimes they don't communicate their feelings. Or why can't you tell me how you felt? Why didn't you tell me that's the way you felt about it? Some people can't do that. They have a hard time trying to put into words how they feel. Or maybe they don't even know how they feel. You know, some people you see, they take their anger out on someone because they're either angry with themselves or not happy with themselves. We hear that time and time again with bullies. You know, they're going through something and they don't know how to deal with it or cope with it. So this is their out. This is their release. Doesn't make it right, but that's what they do. But it's because maybe they're not good communicators. Maybe they can't express what's going on in here in words to let it out. So, but there are, God has gifted some to be communicators, to verbalize. And so it's great when you can find somebody who can even say, like a counselor, for example. They're good communicators. When you go to a counselor and you tell them what's going on in your life, then they can say, well, then are you saying that you feel this, 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 and this? And you go, whoa, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what I'm dealing with. But they couldn't find the words to express what's going on with them. But see, a counselor or a teacher or a coach, they are good at communicating. That's the gift that they have. Believe it or not, though, comedians are good communicators. They can express joy through stories, through jokes. So they have that gift of communicating, too. They are able to move the world. These that have a heart, you know, want to serve the Lord with all their heart, they want to serve and move the world forward with the gift that they have. Now in Ephesians 4:29 it says, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So when talkers say the right things, the right words at the right time, they're going to do what? They're going to restore, they're going to encourage, they're going to build up, and they're going to heal maybe a broken heart. They might direct someone or guide someone. If it's done at the right time and said the right way, it's going to what? It's going to be positive, it's going to be encouraging, and it's going to make a difference in a good way, in a positive way. But the thing about it is, in Proverbs 14:23, it says, hard work is worthwhile, but empty talk will make you poor. What it's saying here is, you can preach it and preach it and preach it, but if you're not practicing it, then you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to improve your life. So some people never get beyond the preaching or the talking stage. I have a friend of mine who's been talking about writing a book for, I would say, at least 20 years. And the book still is not done yet. But, you know, I believe that someday it will be. And it's like a biography or whatever. But, you know, they say they get writer's block, whatever. But, you know, sometimes you wait on God and God's timing. But then there is a time when God says, I want you to step out of your comfort zone, and I want you to follow through with this. You've preached it, now you need to practice it. You need to step out. And when we do that, you know, sometimes we're afraid to because we're afraid of failure. But when we begin to step out in what we've been preaching or what we've been talking about for a long period of time, we're showing God that we're saying, okay, now I have faith, I'm going to step out. I want you, Lord, to show me that your hand is on this and that you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Now, loving God with all of our soul, that's people who focus on their feelings. Now, the soul is used in different ways in the Bible. Most of the time, it's used as a synonym for emotions. We see this more in the book of Psalms. In Psalms 42, it says, "As the deer panteth for the streams of water, so my soul shall pant or long after you, God." That's David talking. David, I think, was a good communicator, and yet David, because of the fact that he could communicate so well, that he also was able to express his feelings and how he did that in Psalms time and time again. How many of you, and this again is not a right or wrong question, to me Psalms is one of my most favorite books in the Bible. Does anyone agree with that? Okay. Because there's so much that we can learn from the book of Psalms saying, hey, I've been through that, what David went through. Or, boy, David really struggled with this. Or, David was waiting a long time, and yet he communicated time and time and time again with the Lord, and he never gave up. Or, look how he starts out, and he's frustrated in this chapter. And look how he's frustrated in this chapter, and in this chapter, and in this chapter. But at the end of every single chapter, he goes, but God, you are faithful. And you will bring me to the other side. If you'll notice that when you look at the books or the chapters in Psalms, David might start out frustrated. But then in the end of that chapter, he always, 99% of the time, he always goes back to saying, but you, God, are faithful. But you, God, will bring me through it. So when we read the book of Psalms, we see so much of David's feelings coming out in words. So, every emotion known to man, from being thirsty in our soul, in other words, or downcast, or dissatisfied, or satisfied, or hungry, or full, or disturbed, or yearning, or rejoicing, or joyful, trouble, all these emotions. Forlorn is another one. Delighted, angry, bitter. All these different emotions. These are things that people experience. But that's the thing. God, as we read the word of God, we find that God got angry. God was happy. God was sad. But it's because we are made in his image that we can experience these emotions ourselves. God is passionate. He's put passion in us. He's desired us to be passionate about the gift that he's called us to do. He's called us to be passionate about our families, to bring them up in the things of God. There's so many things that we can be passionate about. He wants us to be passionate with the body of Christ. With the unloved, he wants us to be passionate. He wants us to be passionate about our relationship with him. And the other thing is that he wants us to be passionate for those who are going through pain, that are going through sorrow, or going through issues, through problems. Feelers offer God's compassion to the world. Feelers, their weakness is this, though. Is they allow their feelings to lead them and guide them. And so when we get tuned into God and we get where we're in the Word or in fellowship with God every single day, to some degree, God levels out that where we're being led, or like if we're here and we are led by our passion or by our feelings instead of God, that gets ahead of us. But the moment we get tuned into what God has, he brings us back where we need to be, and then we go together. And that passion and that walk with God can be used constructively and at the right time, at the right place, for the right situation. So feelers need to be led by the Spirit. So it takes wisdom and maturity in the things of God, because when we are just led and we don't have that maturity, or that walk with God, we find ourselves allowing our emotions to get the best of us, and we allow that to be our guide. So thinkers, those that think love the Lord with all their mind, when thinkers become believers, they fall in love with the Bible. Let's go back to David. It says in Psalms 119, "How I love your law, I think about it all day long." So now here's David. He loves the Lord with all his heart. He loves the Lord with all his heart. He talked about, and he never compromised. He was never ashamed to talk about God. God always came first with everything that he did. So David loved the Lord with all of his heart. And as you see in Psalms, that he loved the Lord with all of his soul, his emotions, he expressed in words and in his music. When he would sing with his harp, when he would sing to the Lord. When he was a shepherd, he would sing in the fields. When he would watch over the sheep, he would sing to God. So he loved the Lord with all of his soul. And then we talk about loving, or it says loving the Lord with all your mind. Well, how I love the law in chapter 119 in Psalms. I think about it all day long. So when we think about the word and we allow the word to be our guide, we can't go wrong. That doesn't mean that life is going to be easier. I heard a message the other day, and it talked about people thinking that once they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they were going to be just, la, 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 everything's just fine now, everything's going to be... No. No, it's going to be a rough road. It's going to get tough. But I would rather know that I have... My life is with the Lord. Because I've got hope. I've got faith. If I don't have that hope and I don't have that faith, I have nothing. And yes, when you have the Lord, you can always, always, no matter what the situation is, say, "Lord, I give it to you. I lay it at your feet." And all the times that you mess up, the wrong choices, the wrong things, the wrong attitudes, you just lay it at his feet and say, "Lord, there it is. You see me. You know who I am. You knew me before I was ever conceived. You knew what I was going to be like. And you still want me. You still love me." Why wouldn't you not want that? So we pray for those that don't know that. They just don't know it. They just don't have the knowledge of it. Satan comes along and he tries to lie to us and tell us that you don't deserve that kind of love. None of us do. But we sure want it. And we sure appreciate it. The Bible has an answer to life's questions. So a thinker is going to cling to the word because a thinker wants to solve problems. A thinker likes to deal with complex issues and likes to find the solutions to situations. In Psalms 3, it says, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom." How many of us have met somebody that they just got the right answers? They think they have the right answers all the time and that they're always right. The old saying was, there was one time I thought I was wrong, when I thought I was wrong, but I realized I wasn't, or something like that. But they think they're always right. They don't think that they say anything or do anything wrong. But the thing is, here it says, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom." Why? Because God is God and you're not. So as thinkers like to think that, you know, they get a little prideful maybe. They get a little ahead of themselves. And they think that what they've got to say is more important than what anybody else has to say. And they've got a thought going. While you're talking, they've got a thought going and they want to, you know, step in and not even, you know, maybe finish your sentences, or they want to, you know, just think it's what they have to say is more important. So it says in James that humility is a choice. chapter 4. Humility, humbling ourselves before God. Your personality is unique. Every one of us have, like I said, a degree of all these things. We all want to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. But again, we all lean towards one of those four, which makes up our personality, which makes us unique and precious to God. And when you use it to serve God, you bring him honor and you bring him glory, not honor and glory to yourself. So the last one is a doer. That person loves the Lord with all their strength. They're energetic. A doer's energetic. They're achievers. They're accomplishers. They're workers. They make things happen and they get things done. Their weak area, if you want to say it's a weak area, they overdo. They overwork. They're always working and they have trouble stopping to think or feel because they're always so busy. You know, God says put your hand to the plow and don't look back. But it also says in Psalms 127, it's useful to rise early and go to bed late and work your wearied fingers, or useless. It is useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your wearied fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? God sees our heart. He sees our emotions. He sees and knows what we think. And he knows that when we do things, that we do it with the right attitude, with the right motive. So when we become believers in Christ, God doesn't want to change our personality. But he might want us to maybe, as a doer, slow down a little bit. God just wants to channel whatever drives you, be it your heart, your soul, your mind, or your strength. Whatever's driving you, God wants to channel that so that he can bring you to the right place at the right time, doing what he wants you to do right then. In Colossians, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord, not for people. As doers, we must remind ourselves we aren't meant to do it all. Now, I remember years ago, I remember somebody saying, when I first came to the Lord, I think they said 80% will sit in the pew and maybe 12% will be the doers. And, you know, they'll do all of it because they want to do it. I don't see that here at all in this church. Not at all. I see prayer warriors in this church. I see those that put their hand to things that need to be done. I see missions in this church. I see doers in one way or another in prayer or in compassion towards other people, towards the community, towards the body of Christ, towards each other, reaching out. All of us have, again, all of us have one of these traits. So today, I'm not getting off course here, but I want to ask you something. If I were to throw out Abraham to you, and I would really like to get you to participate. Now remember I said, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If I was to say Abraham, again, there's no wrong or right answers. If I was to say to you, Abraham, what do you think would be one of those that you think after knowing about Abraham, what was one of the things that he leaned more towards? Was he more a thinker? Was he more a doer? What was he? Anyone want to throw that out, what they think he would have been? Again, there's no right or wrong answers. If you think about Abraham and what he did for the Lord. As a doer? Okay. How many of you think that he was a doer? Okay. Okay, here's another one. How about Joshua? What was he? Was he a doer? Was he a thinker? Was he a, you know, emotions, led by his, not so much by his emotions, but, you know, thinker? Okay. All right. How about Moses? Doer? Okay. How about Noah? Doer? Okay. How about Saul? Thinker? Yeah. Let's touch on that one a little bit. Why do you... Saul was a thinker because why? Because he was worried about what people would think. And a lot of his decision-making was concerned about what others thought. I mean, in the beginning, he wanted to serve God. But then, after a while, he allowed his thoughts, like you said, Glenn, he allowed his thoughts to take over and dominate his decisions. And what happens? Again, when we don't allow our thoughts, our hearts, our mind, our strength to walk alongside God, and we allow those things to get ahead of us, what happens? We're ready for a fall. And that's what happened to Saul when he allowed his emotions to take over and lead and guide him instead of God. Now, how about David? What was he? Now, we talked about David a little bit in this message this morning. I mean, that would be a hard one, wouldn't it? To decide whether he was a doer, wasn't he? He was a thinker. He expressed his emotions. And he had a heart for God. So, I mean, he was all of them? Okay. And think about that. If he was, I mean, he was as close as you could get to doing all of those things, and he accomplished great things. That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not going to be a David. But in God's eyes, we are all Davids if we step out and we allow all these things, these emotions, these thoughts, being a doer of the word, all these things, if we allow them to walk alongside of us with God, we can accomplish just as much as David in our hearts for God, humbling ourselves like David did with God. God will see us as he saw David. If we just apply every one of these to the best of our ability. Now, as I was going through this last night, two things came up to my attention. How about John the Baptist? What do you think of John the Baptist? I mean, what do you think where he was at? Where do you think he leaned more towards? He was a doer. He didn't compromise with God's word, did he? He says, I'm there, I'm here to prepare the way of the Lord. Nothing budged him. Nothing. So would you say he was a doer? Yes? No? Okay. Okay. So how about Thomas? That's a tough one, isn't it?
Thinker?
Okay. Good. I really appreciate you guys giving me feedback. Last one. The Lord laid this one on my heart. I was just rejoicing for this one. Last night at 10 o'clock, I was laying there thinking about the message. The sons of thunder, James and John, out of Mark. Now those two guys, they were thinkers. They were thinkers, but then also they allowed their emotions to get ahead of them. And that's why Jesus called them the sons of thunder. Because they had a plan. It was their plan. It wasn't Jesus' plan. It was their plan. And that's what we like to do sometimes. We like to have our plan, and we want to do it when we want to do it and how we want to do it. But because of God's faithfulness, because of God's compassion, because of God's love for us. He will sit back and allow us to do our thing. And then when we fall, or maybe we don't fall, but maybe we get to the point where we put the brakes on and we go, wait, God's back here. I got to get back here. I remember Joyce Meyer says, I know God had me marry Dave because it helped balance us out, because she was always trying to get ahead of the Lord. And Dave, she always says, Dave always got behind the Lord. So they were constantly at friction with each other, but then they balanced each other out and they ended up meeting and walking alongside God. So sometimes when we have our mate and we go, oh, I would just like to, you know, with our mate, but then you have to sit back and say, Lord, you brought me that person for a reason. So I either wouldn't get ahead of you or I wouldn't get behind you, but that I would walk alongside of you. So, I thank you again for, you know, giving me your feedback. All of these things that we've talked about this morning are gifts that have been given to us. When we use these gifts, when we start out our day using these gifts, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to guide you, so that you can love the Lord to the best of your ability, with His ability, His strength, that you can love the Lord that day. And sometimes it's just that moment, getting through that particular moment. It's like Mary Lou's, you know, her brother going home to be with the Lord. I'm sure there's days where you just needed to just get through one moment. All of us that have lost a loved one, we just need just to get through that one moment. Because we miss that person. They've been a part of our lives for a long time. And nothing or no one else can fill that void. But that's where, when we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, that's when we can see God move in our lives, and that we can continue to move forward, and not only move forward, but touch other lives moving forward, doing what God's called us to do, fulfilling what He's called us to do. Amen? Go ahead, Maureen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we ask that as the week goes by, as the people in this church go through their week and they read your word, Father, Holy Spirit, I ask that you bring this teaching back to them as they study the word, as they study your word, and think, okay, this person was a thinker. This person was just so full of your compassion for you, God. Let them just see how you affected their lives, how you changed their lives, and how they just had nothing but just wanted to please you, Lord, with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, and with all of their strength. And Father, show us how we can do that each and every day in every situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 358. You want to stand?